my colleague and I, Eric Rifkin, came up with a couple books and ideas to show how health statistics can be manipulated. I talk about this a lot in my book, Curing Medicare. Alan Roth and I are going to talk about it a lot in our upcoming book on Flexner and Osler. But here's the bottom line, and I've included an NPR/Kaiser Health News video that came out a couple years ago that explains our method very well. And it's something that all patients/human beings should understand, because it is the bottom level of deception that occurs in the medical system. This occurs on every level. And unless you understand that, you're going to be fooled. This is part of why COVID became the disaster it is, because they use these statistics that really frighten people. So we mentioned it before. The idea that you can have a statistic that shows more benefit and less risk than actually occurs. And it's called a relative risk, comparing things. We mentioned this. So for instance, we said if the temperature goes down from 3 degrees to 2 degrees, that's a 50% reduction in temperature. So if someone comes to say to you, wow, the temperature just dropped 50%, you're like, holy crap, we're in trouble. But again, because they use that 50%, you think it's a big drop, but it's little because the numbers are little. Hence, why people use this. We could, drug companies, doctors, other people can show big benefits when there's actually very little benefit. So going back to our atrial fibrillation argument, a lot of doctors say if you go on blood thinners, you will drop your risk of stroke by 50%. So 50% of what? I mean, that's the question we always have to ask. If the risk of stroke was really high and you dropped it by 50%, that's pretty substantial. And we're also going to have to ask what the heck they mean by stroke. And to the average listener here, they say, duh. You know, a stroke is something where you, like, can't talk or you have weakness on one side of the body. Yeah, you guys out there in the listening world understand that, but the doctors and drug companies that make these studies do not count that as strokes. Those are strokes, but so are things that you don't even know happen to you. Strokes can be invisible. You have no idea they occurred and they're counted as strokes. So when you cut down the risk of stroke by 50%, we have to do two things. We have to figure out what that 50% means and what kind of strokes we're reducing. Because I don't think any of you people care about reducing phantom strokes if it means going on a blood thinner that potentially could kill you. So the third part of this also is when we look at the benefits of these blood thinners, we got to look at the risks in the same exact way that we looked at the benefits. So if they reduce strokes by 50%, how much do they increase death? How much do they increase severe bleeding? And again, we could say bleeding, and that means like they increased it a lot. But if we say severe bleeding, which means you go in the hospital or die from the bleeding, that's more meaningful to you. You don't care if you cut your finger and you bleed and you have to put on a Band-Aid. So again, we have to give you what's called clinically relevant information, which doctors don't understand and which drug companies try to avoid because most of their products do not provide clinically relevant benefit. Okay, so let's go to 50%. If you look at the video on Kaiser Health News, we actually look at mammograms. And I'm not ever going to tell anyone not to get a mammogram, but we can't just say mammograms are so amazing because they save everyone's life. But we have to tell our patients the truth about mammograms. And here's the truth. Approximately, in a lifetime of mammograms, approximately 4 people who get mammograms for their entire life will die of breast cancer. Approximately 5 people who never get mammograms ever in their life will die of breast cancer. Okay, those are the numbers. This is out of 1,000 people. And in our book, we use theaters to show this. We'll do a 1,000-seat theater. So here's the spin on this. What the doctors will tell you is that if you get lifetime mammograms, you're going to reduce your risk of breast cancer death by 20%. Okay? That sounds like a hell of a lot, 20%. But that's the reality. The reality is you're going from 5 out of 1,000 to 4 out of 1,000. That's 20%. In real numbers, you've reduced your risk by 1 out of 1,000. So 1,000 people who get lifetime mammograms versus 1,000 people who get no mammograms, one life from breast cancer will be saved. So there's also, we'd also have to tell you the downsides of it. For instance, about 40 people out of 1,000 would get lifetime mammograms, get severe false positives that require them to be told they might have cancer and they have to go through other testing. And a certain percentage also die from all this extra testing. So this becomes even more important than other screening tests. Then they'll give you some other malarkey, which is basically, well, if everyone got mammograms, we would save 40,000 lives a year. Well, that's true, right? Because there are a lot of people. There are 150 million women in this country. So that still doesn't tell you your personal risk of breast cancer and your benefit of getting the mammogram. For us to do that, we have to get rid of the 50% stuff. We have to get rid of how many people in the country will be saved. And we have to look at you and how many, what's your actual benefit? So that's why we use this way. So in atrial fibrillation, it turns out when they say you're going to cut your risk of stroke by 50%, the number of clinically relevant strokes that you will prevent by going on blood thinner is 6 out of 1,000. So yeah, it goes from 9 out of 1,000 to 6 out of 1,000. So 9 out of 1,000 people might get strokes, and 6 out of 1,000 might get strokes if they take the blood thinner. It's a small number. So the difference is 6 out of 1,000 people. 50% of something equals 6 out of 1,000. So of 1,000 people who take blood thinners, compared to 1,000 people who don't, who have atrial fibrillation, 6 will avoid what we call a meaningful stroke or disabling stroke. Now, it's really important to use that name because the strokes that they talk about in atrial fibrillation studies are strokes you might find on a CAT scan that you don't even know happened. Like little dots in your brain on the CAT scan where the doctors say, oh, there's a stroke. But you don't care about that. You care about a stroke you noticed, right? A meaningful stroke, a disabling stroke, one that caused symptoms like weakness or speech problems. And that number is 6 out of 1,000. So despite what the doctors say, 50% reduction, or you're going to reduce, 50 strokes out of 1,000. Again, the meaningful number is we're going to reduce 6 strokes out of 1,000 people and people who go on blood thinners. And people say, that's pretty good. We don't want a stroke. But what's the downside of going on blood thinners? Again, if we use the same number, we're not going to use percentages. We're going to say how many people out of 1,000 have a severe, meaningful, clinically meaningful adverse effect from going on blood thinners. We got to do that because I have cardiologists who tell my patients, yeah, there's a slight risk of bleeding, but you're going to have a 50% reduction in stroke. So you're likely going to have a stroke if you don't go on blood thinner. Yeah, there's a slight risk of bleeding if you go on it. So again, they're fooling you because you want to know the numbers, right? This is medical deception 101. So what is the number? In terms of blood thinners, here are the numbers. Approximately 6 out of 1,000 people who go on blood thinners either die from the blood thinner or bleed into their brain and get a stroke. So let's say that again. Of people who go on blood thinners, 6 out of 1,000 prevent a stroke. But 6 out of 1,000 die from the blood thinner or get a stroke from the blood thinner because they bled in their brains. And it doesn't end there because about 40 out of 1,000, again in a year, will end up in the hospital with a major bleed. Now, I've had patients who have major bleeds in the hospital because they're on these blood thinners, and the cardiologists say, let's get you right back on the blood thinner because you might get a stroke tomorrow. I mean, it's become like a religion, like a dogma without science anymore because they just want you on this damn blood thinner. So again, we have to use atrial fibrillation as an illustrative way to look at other things. As we'll see when we look at other things such as cholesterol medicine, blood pressure reduction, diabetes, or bone density, we're going to see the same problem. A, using percentages. B, not looking at meaningful clinical outcomes, right? Those are the two things. And number three, making sure to look at what the adverse effect is of the drug, which most doctors say don't worry about. Those three things always have to happen when you go in the doctor's office and the doctor wants to do an intervention. Again, I don't want to hear it's going to cut your risk by 50%. I want to know how many people out of 1,000 have a clinically meaningful benefit. Don't give me your stuff about, it's going to put a dot on a CAT scan. I want to know how many people have a meaningful stroke. I want to know how many people have an adverse severe benefit and risk from going on the medicine. And I don't want percentages, and I want clinically meaningful stuff. So that's Statistics 101. I got the video listed. If you go on the left in the description, and next time we will talk again about the same topic, but look at it through another angle in terms of how all this is being sold to the public, because you've all seen commercials, and God help us all, this is, unfortunately, the doctors are the greatest salesmen for the pharmaceutical industry that this country has ever known.